Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
And I'm Judy Nathans.
And today is March 1st, 2022, which, and I will mention that my mother was born 99 years ago today. She's long gone, but you know, March 1st, whenever it comes, you always remember.
Yeah, you're going to always remember that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And I thought maybe it would be appropriate to mention, we are Cambridge Inside Out, primarily local things, but there is a crisis going on in the world and in Ukraine. I think a lot of eyes are even those of us who sort of try and tune out a lot of world events, you can't help but watch it. And one thing that kind of drove it home for me today was, though he apparently is okay, I do teach mathematics classes through the Harvard Extension School, and I've gotten student requests for things like, oh, can I have an extension on homework or the exam, or the dog ate the homework, or I'm going to a swimming championship, or I'm filling out college applications. Well, today for the first time, I got a request like, if it'd be okay if I skip the exam because I'm in Ukraine and my country is under attack and there are air raid sirens and I can't count on the internet being stable. Or even that, being safe, and I thought, of course, I said, anything you like, we'll do it. Of course.
Now, was he a student? Do you have students around the world, or was he just happened to travel?
Yeah, I'm very eager. In summer school, they've actually let it be known that not only will I be able to go back into a classroom, yay, for the first time in 2 years.
Okay.
But as of yesterday, the guidance from Harvard University is that if you're an instructor, as long as you can maintain 6 foot distance, you can teach without wearing a mask. And I was not looking forward to teaching wearing a mask. So
get back to my question. How did you have a student that was he in Ukraine when he started your course?
Let me address that. The truth is that all of my classes are still done in Zoom, which is not as much fun as actually in person, but on the other hand, you do get to have students from all around the world. And, I have students in Germany and England and Australia and Lexington and Cambridge. I actually have a lot of Cambridge students this semester.
You have more students than normal because it's Zoom, or do you still keep it to a certain?
There was a big jump when this first kicked in, and then it kind of stabilized. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of higher education, a lot of education generally is in a process that will really last for years of redefining itself, sorting it all out. Many schools were struggling to to encourage distance education, and even I who resisted it.
And now,
And this sort of threw everybody into it. And now it's in a paradoxical sort of way, it's about how am I going to transition out from Zoom and back into classroom setting?
What's real life, right?
It's
in real life, IRL.
Yeah. Now, fortunately, my classes will still be broadcast live. Okay. And recorded, for people who can watch the class on demand
so
as well.
It'll be even bigger audience.
Yeah. So I've been I've been live streamed now for maybe 3 years. And funny, just this show what a naive person I am when they told me you want to do it online. Oh yeah, and the video will be ready a day later. They didn't. Maybe they told me it was being broadcast live, but I didn't hear it. I didn't know that. At least three quarters of a year. I went, how were you able to watch it in the library? The video's not ready for another day, right?
Uh-huh.
I go, and I went, realization, light bulb goes off there,
right.
I've already pretty much committed to, in addition to having the broadcast and the video, the recordings, to also do Zoom. Yeah. And to be available for students more than I ever have been in the past, other than when I was having students gathering in my office when I had a real office. So, I'm going to try and make it the best of all modes, we're all kind of creating this as we go, quite honestly. Yeah. So, but anyway, today it was pretty stunning and sobering to actually have a student ask for skip an exam, not because, of a personal conflict or whatever, but because of a war. That is a very sobering thing.
Yeah. So, unbelievable.
Anyway, and it's been actually kind of nice to see a lot of people rallying around, and not only that, but it's also been informative. There are a lot of aspects about that whole part of the world I didn't know about.
We were talking about that. I read up on who's in NATO, who's in the EU. When did they get in? Why did It's really, I had to do a quick dive into history I just don't think about.
I've been trying to be open-minded, saying like, well, okay, what could be the possible reasons why the Russian government might feel that they need to do this? But even if I could sort of, to whatever degree I can understand a little bit of the geopolitics and long-term conflicts and fears, right? There's no way on earth I could possibly justify what's actually happening
now. All come down to his ego and... what's frightening is that people have said that he's now, you can see it in his news, when he speaks to his advisors, he's like, they said he's so afraid of COVID and everything. He's like at this long, long table and everyone else is at the other end. It's so, what an image. And then they said he just has alienated so many people that won't listen, that he only trusts maybe a few. And who does that sound like? Sound like what we had in Trump.
Eventually
the whole administration just dissolved because they couldn't deal with him. So that's scary, but this guy, meanwhile, it's an authoritarian government. I mean, ours was close to that, but nothing like it, and somebody would have kept him from pushing a button, but I don't know if anyone will.
In a kind of a thoroughly predictable twist, though.
Yeah.
Many of the conflicts that people love to amplify in this country have taken a little bit of a back burner last week or two,
They'll
come back, but
gun violence,
right. Well, right. But I'm talking about the culture wars, I'm sure there's still people going bananas because somebody told them to wear a mask in a supermarket or something.
I don't know. But then you have Tucker Carlson, apparently he's been a real, go-getter for Putin. I don't get that.
Well, honestly, I hope a few, and I have no hostility toward Republicans in this country. And I don't even have hostility toward people who voted for Trump, including members of my own family.
But I have real perplexing, I don't get it.
Well, I just hope that enough people sort of listen to the kind of statements that were coming out of their hero's mouth. And then basically say, even if you were sort of pro-Trump, to whatever degree somebody's basically right as the world's getting involved in a war, basically talking up the other guy as a pretty,
find some reason to justify it.
So much about the way it works is politics in a 50-50 nation is about peeling off 5% of people and at least moving them into a better place.
You don't need that many.
That's really what makes all the difference in the world. You're not going to move the hardcore, but you can move the reasonables. And that's maybe we'll peel a few people off. Mr. Biden's got himself a bit of a challenge based on other matters. Inflation is, tough.
It'll be interesting to see what happens tonight.
Yeah, a lot of people's savings are wrapped up in equities and stocks and things, and they're not happy watching the stock market go down while
inflation's going up
too.
I'm not worried about those people, and I'm one of them. I'm worried about people who have nothing saved and have rely on, Social Security alone. I mean, that's who I'm worried about. Okay.
Right. But I think sort of in terms of the, the political base, a lot of people talk about, where will the suburban women go, things like that. And we're kind of in a weird transitional time. You sort of expect to have happen anyway in a midterm year.
Right.
Yes. You know, that's why the pendulum often swings the other way. So there's a lot of opportunity for people to ruin themselves politically or enhance themselves politically. But even if they do or don't, my heart's still with the people in Ukraine they have a much bigger things to worry about. So anyway, back to Cambridge.
Seems so, I know it isn't trite, but it's just between the pandemic and climate change and the latest reports and this war, it's just like, okay, we'll be talking about the neighborhood conservation districts and the bike lane controversy and cannabis. Yeah, it's all important. I know that, but it just, my heart isn't in it, okay?
Right. I mean, I thought it might actually make some sense to say a few things about the pandemic, which hasn't gone away without spending too much time.
You're a lot more positive than I am. So let's go.
Yeah. Okay. So let me just sort of say here that start with the bad news, which is that today there was one more fatality. Just when we're all kind of wanting things to stabilize and go away, we still get hit with a fatality,
Some people stay ill for like a couple months and then
The public health people are a little stingy on the information about things like that. Right. So we had one more fatality today. I don't think people should worry too much by the fact that things have not, things were sort of crashing and now they're leveling at a level, the 7-day averages have actually gone up about, 10 over the last several days. But part of that is just because of, we had some really, really good days that, are no longer in the 7-day average. So things were going to go up a little bit. I've been looking at some of the wastewater data, and there is that BA2 variant, which is actually a little bit of a factor. That has been detected. They say nationally that's something like 6%, but I think it's actually fluctuated higher in some of the samples on some of the days. When they were speaking about COVID-related matters at the city council meeting last night, they also mentioned that there were, for whatever reason, amongst university populations, there had been a very serious uptick. Now, some of that, maybe just be bad behavior or whatever, but that was actually part of the reason why there was a little uptick. And by the way, people shouldn't be too worried about it. I mean, if you look at the way it worked in the age groups, everything was, they shot up like a rocket, they fell like a stone. Then basically what you're really seeing is just a little upblip, which seems to be a passing thing that will likely fade away. The city has announced that they're going to be eliminating the mask mandate for interiors of buildings, except city buildings, come March 13th, right, which is only 12 days from now.
And then
city buildings in March 27th, right? That they would relax that, so you would no longer be required to wear the mask. So I have to believe, even though the data looks like things are leveling out, that there's some expertise here that understands that is most likely a passing thing. I've actually heard some of the public health people speak of the rather predictable symmetry of this. Mm-hmm. And if you actually look, we went from very low, we plateaued before things shot up and went crazy. Then we fell very rapidly. We're sort of in a plateau. Yeah. And there's a pretty good chance that plateau will not be long lasting, and then we will actually start dropping.
It's interesting when I see the 20 to 29, that actually makes complete sense to me, because at that age you're usually not coupled, you don't have kids, you're in college or you're out and about, and you're just around a lot more people than as you get more settled, or as you're in your own family, you're just more free and carefree. That's all.
Yeah.
Not to say that, it's just that there's more chance of them being in larger groups.
Yeah. The one graph that I saw, I don't repeat this graph or something, but it was basically it was kind of a complete inversion in terms of the risk, like a percentage of fatalities if you get the illness. So the older you are, it's much higher likelihood of severe illness than with the young. But the probability of getting right now is very much with the young. and the because older people are very improbable of getting it now.
Right, because you couldn't compare it to like 2 years ago when we didn't have safety.
Yeah.
We didn't have any of these things that we have now. We didn't have vaccinations.
So I saw something today about, how the relative ineffectiveness of one of the vaccines for people in the like 5 to 16 year range. I go, but the fact of the matter is the actual level of serious illness or death amongst that age group is almost zero. It's very, very small. Right. So if the vaccine is a bit somewhat less effective, that probably doesn't matter that much.
I wonder if that group also just didn't bother to get the booster shot. It's not a lot of people I think it's helped a lot.
Yeah. Though apparently, it's funny. This is a novel virus, and the truths of it all are still being learned as we go.
Yeah, but I think it helps.
And so they're actually finding now that they say, the booster will matter. But I'm saying, like, turns out if you actually got the original shots, it's pretty effective still,
But they've done studies, and the booster shot, I mean, now after 4 months of getting it, may not be as effective, but it's still, I bet if they did a lot of real studies.
Right, but getting the initial vaccination was still that was the lion's share of the protection. So
but you had to get two. Or the one with the
job. Well, you had to get what was required to the end. Right. The reason for the two was that I think it's a matter you couldn't administer that the super dose without serious side effects. So they had to do it in as a pair, and the others. So anyway, so that's COVID. So the big news was, the numbers are down, plateauing. We're eagerly wanting to drop one from new fatality today. There were 83 new cases today, which is a lot worse than the 9 we had, last week on the days.
So you think that's the
some of it is the anomalies. Some of it is the anomalies of days of the week. After a weekend, you tend to see a bump in new cases after a weekend is over. So who can say? But I'm actually going to remain optimistic about it all.
Good.
I think we're sort of heading in a good direction. Yeah. So
good. Now, glad to see one of us is. Okay.
Right. Now there were quite a few things under discussion or charter, right? So that, in other words, of non-discussion.
I know.
At our city council meeting last night.
Can you imagine if they had not been charter righted, the meeting would have lasted till 2 in the morning?
Well, actually, no, because
really,
maybe for one of them, but most of the items that were made subject to the charter right were done by Councilor Mallon.
I know.
Who basically, as we said 2 weeks ago on this program, we said, I didn't know which appointments were coming, but I had a strong intuition that we were going to be getting some, and we're going to start seeing a test of some of these charter changes. I thought, well, maybe it'll be a Board of Zoning Appeals appointment, but actually, I think I also mentioned a couple of weeks ago about the neighborhood conservation districts.
Yes.
And so sure enough, my Lord, they had like almost a dozen, communications from the manager for appointments to the Water Board, Historical Commission, and a whole slew of the neighborhood conservation districts.
Yeah, 8 of them. Eight items.
Now I have to say, we don't know. I mean, so the vice mayor exercised her charter right. Is it? And, but then what happens next? So what are they going to do? They don't have a protocol for what to do with they're going to review.
But didn't she bring that up actually in why she was charter writing it? Is that
maybe she? Yes, I believe she did.
There wasn't a structure to even look at these.
Right, but then floated were words like diversity and these matching the population of the city, which to me it's sort of like as a goal, I think having diverse boards is a very good goal, but. Let's at least acknowledge that many boards are not diverse by design. Yeah. I mean, the recycling advisory committee that we were on, we never felt a need to make sure we had a full representation of all points of view about recycling, right? We were pretty much all advocates. I don't think anybody would be bothered by the fact that the Women's Commission is primarily composed of women.
But I don't think she's talking about diversity. No, I think she's talking about more economic diversity.
You know,
status,
I think
renter status, I don't know.
Well, see, now that's really the main thing, because I think a lot of this is very politically motivated.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people try to make it out as if the big bad city manager was going to just sort of, you know, be appointing inside characters in order to force an agenda. But in fact, that's never been how it worked. That's a pure fiction that's been thrown out there for political reasons. You know, really, the difficulty with the appointments has always been the lack of people applying. You know, and just trying to get, we have a lot of boards and commissions and just so many people in the city and so many people who are interested.
Civic service.
And it is true that people from different walks of life and different socioeconomic status may have damn good reasons for not wanting to dedicate a lot of time to certain things. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, now that I'm older, I'm thinking like, well, I have plenty of time. I could actually serve on, you know, so the fact is there are reasons why you may actually find, you know, some different levels of representation from different demographics.
Also, the conservation districts are geographically determined. So it has to be, you know.
So you have to be in there. That's true. Yeah, but, you know, lurking behind this, and this is also related to there was a related city council order, which was really a refiling of a citizen petition that came about last year sometime, that wanted to basically, and I'll just say it, wanted to eviscerate the neighborhood conservation districts because of a personal dispute with the East Cambridge planning team. You know, that all these neighborhood conservation districts should match the percentage of renters in the city. You know, in other words, so. Yeah,
it's
think
crazy.
The
whole idea of starting conserving is to long term.
You know, it is naturally true that I think property owners have a lot more skin in the game when it talks about, you know, what they can do with their property. Yeah. You know, so sure, you would expect that they would have more interest in this and be affected. By the way, there's so much complete manufacturing of false history about the neighborhood conservation districts. I mean, I was talking to one of the city councilors the other day about, you know, some of the history of the Mid-Cambridge neighborhood conservation district, I mean, sorry to break the news to some of our newcoming, evangelists here, but the fact of the matter is that the neighborhood conservation district from Mid-Cambridge came about because there was a really reckless tearing down of really beautiful old mansard roofs buildings along places like Harvard Street, and they were being replaced by crap boxes. I mean, real crap boxes.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen them. They're still there, aren't they?
Some were built, and they were terrible, and they are terrible. And so the idea was, I always heard referred to as the townhouse ordinance, was that they were actually were going to encourage these large lots to actually be have new housing built in and around, but preserving the original buildings and then meshing that in with new construction of housing units. So you have a lot more housing units on a given lot. And then one of the major tasks of the Mid-Cambridge Neighborhood Conservation District has basically been to sort of shepherd that process.
But you're saying that they were encouraging infill?
The thing is that if you purchased a lot, and you just wanted to knock the building down because the lot was oversized for, you know, current demand. I mean, there was a time there were families, a good old Irish family might have 13 children in a big house with a big yard, you know, and there was a lot less demand for it. So times have changed. You know, though there were a lot of these buildings were simply inappropriate to maintain as single family homes. They were, it was just too much for the lot.
Okay, so
it made sense to do something else there. But so the compromise that was reached, yeah. I think with great wisdom, was to say, look, let's acknowledge the fact that there should be some infill, and that you can do that and also preserve the architectural integrity of some of the buildings, and they can work for everybody.
Right.
You know, and I think they've actually done a very, very good job of it, you know, over the years. Now, you know, I will say that there have been a few times when I got irritated by neighborhood conservation districts commissions when they spent a little too much time worrying about the fenestration and the mullion, whether there should be mullions in the windows or not, or whether this particular shade of paint, it was, so I'm not happy with when they act as sort of the taste police.
Right.
You know, but in terms of the sort of the big picture stuff, in terms of, you know, maintenance of architectural significance and whatever, you know, I think I've actually by and large done a very good job, and to try and just eviscerate them just because you happen to have a particular dispute with a particular person on a particular neighborhood concept.
But then it brought in a lot of other people who said, but we could knock that house down and build a lot more units in a building versus keeping some
happens when you marry a grudge with a political organization.
We have
about 30 seconds to go here, so
okay, good.
So when we come back in a few minutes, we have a lot more to talk about with not only about some of the boards and things, but also, you know, we got our AAA bond ratings again, you know, and all of that.
Okay.
And plenty more with the manager search, which is still ongoing, and some
talk about the finance committee meeting.
And we can absolutely do that too, right? So
okay.
So anyway, we'll wrap it up just now for this little segment, but we'll be back in a couple minutes on Cambridge Inside Out.
Okay.